Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Yeah. All right. I'm very excited about the Blackhawks.
Sam.
Am I crazy?
7 in a row.
Am I crazy to think that they're going to make the playoffs? Adam Burrish is going to answer that question. And I want you to answer the very specific question, not the general question, am I crazy? Because that's an easy one. Am I crazy to think that the Blackhawks are going to make the playoffs this year?
No, you being crazy, yeah, I can live with that. But I don't think you are. And I said it on TV the other night, too, is, you know, if you're sitting at a bar watching, you're sitting at home or at the United Center telling your buddies you think the Blackhawks are going to make the playoffs. A month ago, your buddy would have laughed at you. Now I think he would say, I agree with you. The way this team is playing, and I can tell you from an old player and talking to guys around the league right now, when a team is hot like this and they're playing with confidence and they're feeling good and old number 88 and 19 are setting the league on fire right now, it's a scary team to play again. The building's alive. Now, the last week, if you've been to a Blackhawks game, there's a buzz in the arena again. There's people excited. The players talk about it in their interviews. And now this is that team again that teams are scared to play against. So I don't think you're crazy at all for thinking that. I think this team's going to keep rocking.
I'm going to take it one step crazier because I said if they make the playoffs, I made this prediction, they will make the Stanley Cup. Now, will they win the Stanley Cup? I don't know. But I think they're going to buzz through because their momentum is momentum. And I have not seen them play with this level of speed, Adam Burrish, even beyond the season that was so great 2 years ago when they got wiped out in the first round of the playoffs. The speed on the ice is like 15 level.
Well, you've been watching close because you nailed it, and especially this last game, Sunday, a 2 o'clock game, and sometimes 2 o'clock starts are a little bit tough because, at least for me, it was, what do you eat, right? So you get up at 8 or 9 a.m. and usually eat chicken and pasta. Well, I don't feel like eating that in the morning. Your routine's a little bit screwed up, and so sometimes you see a little bit of a sluggish start. Man, they were flying on Sunday. They absolutely outskated a Red Wings team that's a bunch of young kids that can really skate and scoot, and they ran them into the ground early in the first period. And I'm with you. I think back to, we won the Cup in 2010 and 2011. I was playing in Dallas at the time, and the LA Kings sucked the entire season. They weren't good until about January, and they went on this crazy run. They won their last game of the season to make the playoffs, and then they went on the run to win the Stanley Cup that same year. So I'm with you. Teams that have a lot of momentum, that have had to kind of grind. The Blackhawks had their adversary this year already, right? So they lose their coach. The beloved Joel Quenneville gets fired. They go on these terrible skids.
Yeah.
Everybody's writing them off. Now the flowers have bloomed. Everybody's excited now. The team feels good. Talk to these guys. I'm sure you see their interviews. Their demeanor's different. They're smiling. They're laughing on the ice. They're having fun. This is a confident team, and in the NHL, you get a confident team, it's a scary team.
Can I ask you about Jeremy Colliton and the impact of this? Because you mentioned Coach Q, and I think a lot of fans were sort of, you know, we were shocked and maybe a little puzzled when Coach Q was, you know, replaced by Jeremy Colliton. And I got to say, I would be honest, I think there was some doubt, right? There was some doubt that this was going to be a positive change. And do you think he's earning our respect? And does this impact what he's doing for this team and the perception of him?
I'm with you. I think everybody was shocked. I was shocked. I think the players were shocked. Sad may be a word. This is a guy that everybody loved. Players loved playing for him. He was an incredible coach. He treated guys like pros. Go down that lineup, everybody would say he was the best coach they ever had, and all of a sudden they're doing terrible. They fire this beloved guy that everybody loved playing for, and all of a sudden Jeremy comes in. They still go on this skid. And now Jeremy's message has finally kind of come to fruition, and I give him a heck of a lot of credit. He hasn't wavered. His message has stayed the same. His demeanor has stayed the same. And I've been on teams that have gone on skids on other teams away from Chicago, and a lot of times that the coach starts changing his message. He starts yelling and screaming. He starts beating guys down, you know, verbally and screaming and embarrassing them in video messages. And from everything the guys say, he's kept that even keel, that even demeanor. And I think that's translating to the team. When things start to go sour, everybody kind of goes crazy. The media goes crazy. Players in the locker room are wondering what's going on. And every day to come to the rink and have a consistent voice and have that calming presence. He's not a guy during games that's changing lines all the time. If one bad shift, he doesn't change. He sticks with it. Be calm. He trusts what he says and he trusts what he does. And I think now you're seeing that that method that he's had is really paying off. It seems like a calm team that's having fun playing again. And when you're struggling, I think that seems to be the answer now in the NHL, where it's consistency. It's a long season. And when the Blackhawks were doing so great with Joel, it was always consistent. It was always the same. It was, have fun coming to the rink. We're going to give you your space. We're going to give you your days off. But when we play, man, it's on, and we're going to shove it down your throat. And now you're seeing that team doing that. And they got to give Jeremy a heck of a lot of credit. He's done an awesome job.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Adam, they're about to have a good problem on their hands, or a good predicament, because Corey Crawford was a full participant in practice today. Look, when that concussion happened in December, we thought his season was probably over, considering how long it took him to get back from that first concussion. But full participant, he says he's ready to go. We still don't have an exact timetable for when he'll return, but Colin Dealey and Cam Ward have been really good over the past 10 games or so. How do you see this work? Do you think Dealey gets sent down to Rockford? They just gave him a 3-year contract extension today, and Cam Ward has a clause in his deal where they couldn't even send him down if they wanted to. So do you see Dealey getting sent down and getting more reps in Rockford, and then have Crawford and Ward as your two goalies?
If that happens, it won't be. I don't think it'll be right away. I think they're going to let this thing play out a little bit. It's a little bit like for players and forwards or defensemen, when you're injured for a while and you're ready to come back, if the team's winning, not much changes. And the lineup does, you don't see the lineup coaches make lineup changes when the team is winning and we're on a roll. You know, I've been there where I've been scratched for a game, or I've been injured for a game and I'm ready to come back, and the coach just says, hey, I can't change anything right now. There's not been a guy that's deserved to come out of the lineup yet. Right. And goaltenders are the same situation. And Corey, I heard what he said today to the media, that these guys have earned a play right now. I'm not kicking and screaming to get back in that net. These guys deserve to keep playing. We're on a roll right now. I don't want to disrupt that. And that says a lot about Corey, and it says a lot about what this team has done. And I think for the Hawks and for the fans and for the coaches, they got a great situation now where now they can wait. They can get Corey back in shape. They can get him. He's practiced once with the team, so let's give him a few weeks of practice. Let's get him back up to speed. Let's get him some real shots in practice, and let's take our time with this. And we all know that if the playoffs started tomorrow, Corey Crawford's probably going to be in the net if he's 100%. But right now, let's let these guys keep rolling as long as they can. And let's keep Corey ready. And I think that's that. From everything I know and everything I hear, I think that's the right approach and the approach they take. But I think you talk about the trade deadline coming up. Maybe Corey Crawford coming back, and they don't do a lot at the trade deadline. Here's your trade acquisition. Here's your trade deadline deal. You get, for me, the best goalie in the league last year before he got hurt. You get him back in net now. Well, that can be a pretty big spark for this team.
Let me ask you about the concept of momentum versus looking ahead. These guys are on a roll, but they got to play one game at a time. It's like the playoffs in a lot of ways. I mean, this is basically going to be a 5-month playoff run if this is what it's going to turn into,
yeah.
Right? So you have to stay really focused, because they are. I think they have maybe five games left without a point. And any more than that, they may not make the playoffs, because they still have to climb four teams. It's not like, you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, people are going to win on the ice, you know, on nights. They're going to get points, 1 or 2 points a night. So this is going to be a race all the way to the very end. It could be like the LA Kings. Could be a situation, yeah, where you in 2011, where it comes down to the very last game of the season. How do you keep them focused?
Well, for us as fans, I think it's pretty cool. So every game from here on out is going to have a little bit of a playoff implication, playoff atmosphere. You know, you're going to see the Hawks' best hockey, the best effort from here on out, which is fun as a fan. Every game is going to be, they're going to be jacked up for it, so that's cool. But it's funny, as players, it's usually kind of split down the middle. You've got half the guys that the second the game is done, they'll walk into the TV room, or they'll go over to one of the coaches and say, what did St. Louis do tonight? What did Minnesota do tonight? What did Colorado do? You'll have the other guys that kind of don't care, that aren't going to really pay attention. But as a player, what you usually do is you get ready for your game that night. You play it between periods. You're not checking scores. You're not seeing. But once that game is done, you know, within 5 minutes of taking your gear off, guys are in the lounge, the TV's on with the NHL channels, and you're seeing what the other teams around the league are doing, and hoping St. Louis loses, or hoping Colorado or Minnesota lose. But that's kind of how you do it as a player, is you focus on your game that day, and the second it's done, I was one of those guys, the second the game was done, I go in and either check my phone or look at the TV and see what the other games are doing. So that's normally the approach.
And, Burrish, what else were you checking on your phone? I just want to know, when you get off the ice, you know, you're looking at your phone.
Usually just text from my mom telling me how great I played.
Oh, that's sweet. How about that?
All right. That's usually it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
That was it.
Right. All right. Hang out in your seats, and we'll be out in about 20 minutes. Was anything like that? Nothing like that.
No. It was just scores and listen to my mom tell me how great I am.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Nice to be a professional.
He's a pro. Yep.
So, what time are we meeting at Cuvée? I don't know. Mom, I have no idea.
It's odd for mom to ask that.
Yeah, I don't know. No, Mom, we're not meeting at Cuvée tonight. All right. Yeah. That's very exciting. I'm thrilled that this team did make this turnaround, because I was, you know, after Q got fired, we all were. You know, all the Hawks fans are devastated.
You're mourning.
And Jeremy Colleton, as it seems like, you know, a great young talent in this, but was he ready to step into the voracious appetite of Hawks fans for a great winning team? Is he ready to, you know, get chewed up in all of that? And now he makes his turn. And you know what? The pressure's off of him now, because now it does seem like, hey, maybe there is something there. And even though I think even really, really adept hockey fans, it you never really fully understand how the lines are being created, because a lot of it is done on feel, right? I mean, on the ice. And so he seems to have that feel. He seems to get a sense. There's a reason that Stan thought that this guy was going to be worthy, great, and take a risk on him. Because everybody's job is on the line. Sure. Stan's job is on the line if this doesn't work out. John McDonough would be the first to tell you, maybe I should go if this doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a crazy thing. I'll hear from John for saying that. But these guys, no, they're all. They everybody wants to be responsible here.
True. In Stan, we can. Yeah. Remember the T-shirt?
Totally.
With Stan.
Do you know if my job was on the line?
It was, totally.
It was? Yeah, that's what I thought too. And I also want to say, don't forget, give the veteran guys on this team, give them a huge amount of credit too. Duncan Keith and Seabrook and Kane and Taves, especially those four guys, because don't forget, the first 30 games or 40 games of this season and leading up to the season, people had somewhat written them off, right? They're too old.
Right.
The game's changed. It's a speed game now. And those guys hear that stuff. As players, you hear it. You feel it. You live in this city, and you can't go anywhere without hearing something Blackhawks now. And so those guys, and it's hard to do. I give them a lot of credit to be able to block that off and really focus. And it would have been easy for them just to say, you know what, this season's done. We've gone on, you know, three different big losing streaks. It's going to be really, and they didn't. And what Kane's done this year, for me, if he doesn't win, if he continues this for another 25 games and doesn't win the MVP, I'd be really disappointed.
MVP.
The season Taves has been incredible. And Seabrook and Keith, the last 3 weeks, with all the rumors about them going on the trade stuff, they've blocked that out. And defensively, it doesn't show up on the score sheet, but, man, they've been rock solid, defended really hard, and put a lot of energy into this. So give those guys a lot of credit, too.
Let us start that chant with Patrick Kane. MVP.
No kidding.
That's what it should be every time he's on the ice or he scores or when they introduce him. Because I think let's just show a little bit of respect and thanks for the past, what has it been, 12 years, right? For 13 seasons or whatever. We got to be respectful there. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Adam Burrish. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks. See you later.
See ya. And it's true. I'm crazy. Let us now check in. Don Kleppen is in the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. What's coming up?
Early voting in Chicago's mayoral election now open. We'll have more on that.